Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's back up. Oh, man, I tell you what, if you guys drive past this billboard, if you see it, I should have asked Derek Aspinwall where the billboard is at. I know it's somewhere in Bozeman, but is it on the interstate? Is it somewhere near downtown? I forgot to ask him where the sign is at. So if our listeners in the Bozeman area right now on 1450 KMMS are listening and you see the billboard that says Make Bozeman Montana Again, take a photo, tell us where it's at, send us a message on the Montana Talks app. But yeah, it's back. The Make Bozeman Montana Again billboard is back in action, triggering hipsters everywhere. And this thing is just hilarious every time I see it. Derek Aspinwall is a Montana native and the founder of Aspinwall Mountain Wear. They make some really cool outdoor gear and, you know, clothing, T-shirts, things like that. He's got a new camouflage pattern that he created. It's his own camo pattern. So anyway, I'll have to sport that here one of these days because it's a cool camo pattern. Maybe next SHOT Show I can rock one of those or something. But he put up a similar billboard back in 2022, and man, I didn't even have to ask people to send me a photo of it. They were just seeing it and then sharing it. See it, share it. In 2022, yeah, there were apparently, you know, obviously the billboard was put up to be funny, but it was also kind of to bring both sides of the political aisle together, that there are both sides of the political aisle that have legitimate concerns for Bozeman and its surrounding areas. Well, at least they'll claim that they have similar concerns as us. And so back in 2022, Derek Aspinwall, you know, told me how the trademark was designed to spark the conversation of how to keep Montana, well, Montana. And anyway, back in 2022, we told you, you know, the funny thing about the billboard is that a lot of the friends of mine who love it and were sharing it at the time live in Bozeman or went to college there. And they're the ones that love the Make Bozeman Montana Again sign. One commenter on the Aspinwall Facebook page thought that the billboard was just a meme, but thought it was awesome when he found out the billboard was real. And another commenter wrote, I literally almost spit my drink out when I saw it on Facebook yesterday. Good work. Not everybody took it lightly, of course, but the company jumped in on the comment section to note that the billboard was, quote, all in good fun. But, yeah, you can see the Make Bozeman Montana Again sign, the billboard. It's back up. We've got the photo and much more on our Montana Talks website right now. You know what I really love about the Make Bozeman Montana Again sign? It's not a red billboard. It's a black and white billboard. So it's like the Elon Musk dark MAGA theme on the Make Bozeman Montana Again billboard that's out this year. That'll really trigger them now. You know, the red hat was bad enough. Now you've got Elon Musk dark MAGA colors. Oh, man, they're going to be angry. Phone lines are open. Back after this.
It's March 17th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Everyone's Irish pride is on display as we all celebrate the Feast of St. Patrick. The patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, is believed to have worn green clothing and used a shamrock to illustrate the Holy Trinity. And while much of that lore is probably not true, we all get to enjoy being Irish for the day. So put on something green, head to a St. Patrick's Day parade, and enjoy a traditional Irish meal of corned beef and cabbage. By the way, it's also National Corned Beef and Cabbage Day. Also on this date, in 1762, the first St. Patrick's Day parade is celebrated in New York City. And in 1905, Albert Einstein finished his paper on the quantum theory of light, which is one of the foundations of modern physics. If it's your birthday today, you share it with multiple gold medal winning Olympic swimmer, American Katie Ledecky, born in 1997. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
It's tax time, which means scammers are out in force trying to get your money. I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip after this.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Tax season is the prime time for phone, email, and text scams.
It's a threatening phone call. People get scared and they end up paying.
Adam Levin, author of Swiped and founder of Cyber Scout, says the IRS does not make threatening phone calls. If there's a dispute, you're notified by mail.
You read it. It tells you what the issue is. You have a right to challenge it. You can call them and talk to them about it.
And the IRS never demands immediate payment. Record the number and report it to the IRS. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Hey, you want to...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, oopsie, too late. That was El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, sharing a New York Post story over the weekend. Federal judge orders deportation flights carrying alleged Venezuelan gangbangers to return to the U.S., blocks Trump from invoking Alien Enemies Act. Oopsie. Too late. And then Nayib Bukele shared this incredible video of his law enforcement, of his troops greeting the plane load of criminal, hardcore criminal illegal aliens from the United States to then throw these MS-13 gang members, these Tren de Aragua gang members and other hardened criminals behind bars. That liberal judge couldn't stop it. This is the video, and you can hear the music playing in the background that they produced, showing these criminal illegal aliens being marched in handcuffs, loaded onto buses, and then sent to Salvadoran prisons. But the judge wanted them here in the United States of America. Whoopsie. Too late. We'll talk about that and much more here. We've got open phones right now, and then later on in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Plus, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana joins us in a quick few minutes as well. So let's jump right into your phone calls. Francis in Big Fork first up. Francis, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted your opinion on these airplanes that this dumb judge is trying to stop. And you know what? I think we should try to make a law. I'm going to call, you know, she, and see if we can get some bill to put in that these judges that are appointed in a state can only judge in the state. And they can't control what the federal government does.
Yeah, this New York judge, James Boasberg, I think is his name. Actually, may not be New York. Maybe one of the D.C. judges, because this was the same judge. Thanks for the call, Francis. This was the same judge who put people in prison, put grandmas in prison, who committed no violent act on January 6th. But yet here you have murderers and rapists that this judge doesn't want to be deported and placed in prisons in El Salvador. Stephen Miller, President Trump's deputy chief of staff, said this: so this district judge gleefully imprisons nonviolent Americans while incinerating the Constitution and entire structure of our government to defend illegal alien foreign enemy terrorists. Vice President J.D. Vance said there were violent criminals and rapists in our country. Democrats fought to keep them here. President Trump deported them. You've even got, in fact, Jeremy Carl, who joined us on the show last week, he made the point that even senators like Chuck Grassley, who's certainly no bomb thrower, even Chuck Grassley is saying, okay, we have got some major constitutional problems with these federal judges that are intent on creating a constitutional crisis in America. Chuck Grassley is calling for significant judicial reform at the federal level. And as we've all been talking here in Montana, the same lawlessness and the same abuse of power that this judge has shown at the federal level is exactly what we've seen out of the liberal mob on our Montana Supreme Court time and time again, which is why, as the Montana legislature gets back into action this week, judicial reform has got to be a top priority. All right, next up on the phone lines, we've got Karen in Big Fork listening to KJJR. Karen, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, I called about something else, but you mentioned Jeremy Carl, and I just wanted to put in, I just recently got his book, The Unprotected Class. Well, I wasn't expecting to like it because I had a prejudice against, you know, Silicon Valley. Yeah, but anyway, doesn't matter. I saw the reviews by demigods like Chris Rufo, and VDH, and that showed me. And the book is so well written. So much information, and I can't see enough of it. As soon as I read it, I lent it to somebody else. I'm going to get it back. But man, it is so good. I would just reiterate, everybody should read it. It's
yeah, this is Jeremy Carl lives in Bozeman. He's a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, and basically his book is about anti-white racism that we see in America.
Well,
really,
so much else.
And so much else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then what else did you want to talk about? We got about a minute and a half before the break.
Okay. You're among the cognoscenti of radio culture, and I was hoping that you could explain what goes into the decision to choose a particular radio show over another, because, like, KJJR has made the decision. You know, Bongino's gone. It is a blockbuster show. He recommended the Vince Colonnais. So did Mark Levin. And they're replacing it with a kind of like a Pee Wee Herman variety show of Clay and Buck. It doesn't compare. Vince Colonnais is pure gold. He's like a Limbaugh quality. Is it just the money? I don't know what goes into it.
Well, the Disney family out in Libby that listens to Montana Talks, they listen to Clay and Buck, and they love Clay and Buck. And I know some folks who really love the Clay and Buck show. When the great Rush Limbaugh exited the airwaves, there were kind of two shows. There was Bongino that took a bunch of the stations, and then there was Clay and Buck that took a bunch of the stations. And so, yeah, I've heard great things about their show. But yeah, Vince does a great job as well. Man, I heard him break down that jobs report about a couple of Fridays ago. It was incredible.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's a concept used to describe different ways of producing energy known as energy density. You might think of it as the amount of land needed to produce a given amount of power from different fuels, wind, solar, coal, gas, or nuclear. Physical footprint on a wind farm or a solar farm is huge compared to fuels with higher energy density such as gas and especially nuclear. But as blogger Austin Vernon has described, despite the extremely high energy density of nuclear fuel, technology has not emerged as a low-cost way to produce electricity, especially compared to alternatives like gas. And the reasons why might surprise you. Yes, regulation and fear of contamination are factors, but the biggest factor is purely economic. Under current technology, a controlled nuclear reaction energy source is a low-heat source, much lower than a combined cycle gas turbine, which has more than twice the thermal efficiency. The only way to get a lot of power out of a nuclear plant is to massively scale up the entire process, and that's expensive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
That is the sound of American F-18s taking off over the weekend to conduct strikes against Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen, designed to stop attacks on vessels crossing the Red Sea. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz on Fox News Sunday.
We just hit them with overwhelming force and put Iran on notice that enough is enough.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
4 months ago, when we sent a ship through, it was shot at 17 times. Ships haven't been able to go through for over a year without being shot at.
Hegseth says the strikes are about the freedom of navigation and restoring deterrence.
The minute the Houthis say, we'll stop shooting at your ships, we'll stop shooting at your drones, this campaign will end.
The secretary adding that Iran has been enabling the Houthis for far too long and better back off. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
When operating a small business, keeping good records is crucial. I'm Hilary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Record keeping is key for small business owners. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
At the end of the year, they might come and they might say, gee, I spend $300 on postage related to sending out statements to my business. Can you prove it? No, I just went to the post office and never saved receipts. If you don't save receipts, you can have all the great small business expenses that you incurred, and they may all be legit, but the name of the game is documenting your small business expenses.
Tax experts say set aside between 30 to 40% of what is earned to cover both federal and state taxes. Hilary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Tom and Bozeman, feel free to stay on the phone lines. We'll get to you in a few minutes. Or if you want to call back after our 8:35 break, we can get you on then when we open up the phone lines once again here on Montana Talks. And then we'll keep them open through the 9 o'clock hour as well. But we do have Henry Kriegel now with us, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, joining us for a weekly legislative update in this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, happy Monday. Back to work, huh?
Oh, yeah. Back to work is right, my friend. I am back to work. And, yeah, a little bit of a transmittal break. Not much of a break, but we're coming up on, the session's already begun, and things are going to get back into full swing very quickly, very quickly. We've done, as I mentioned last time, we did our accountability campaign on HB 320, and that was our educational freedom bill for the session. It did lose on third reading, as I had mentioned, due to an extraordinary alignment of some moderate Republicans and some very conservative Republicans who voted against it. And we're getting some feedback from the accountability mailers and the digital campaign that we have launched. Some of those freshman legislators are not very happy about being called out for their bad votes, and letting mutual friends know about it, which is fine. It's exactly what we intend to have happen. If we invest, Americans for Prosperity invests time, energy, and significant resources in any particular bill, these legislators ought to take note of that. If they have concerns about the bill itself at the last minute, they ought to be contacting us to find out what our position is regarding those very specific concerns. And they did not. And so they get accountability to their own voters, and they have to account to the people who voted them in. That's how we work. That's how the system works.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what might be different, or if it's more of the same in the second half of the legislative session, because, you know, hopefully these lawmakers were back home over the last week talking with constituents, talking with people back home, and we're getting an earful of what's going good and maybe what's not going so well in the first half of the legislative session, because it's just so easy, especially for these freshman lawmakers, to show up at the Capitol and just get pummeled by these community organizer groups that have, frankly, too much power in our state capital city of Helena. And it's important for them to be reminded of, hey, these are the folks back home who sent you there in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. So the timing of it was impeccable. You know, the fact that we got this accountability campaign on their bad votes in HB 320 Educational Freedom Bill was perfect, because the day they got out of session for transmittal was the day our mailers hit their local constituents. And when they went about town, or when they would talk to friends, or if they did any public events, they certainly heard about it, which is the way it was intended. So we'll see. We're switching. We're maintaining our focus on other priority bills for our session. which is regulatory reform called the Baby Range Act, which will bring more accountability to the unelected bureaucrats and administrators who write the rules, which are, have the effect of law. Many times the rules could not be really in alignment with the bill that was already debated and voted upon by the legislature. And many of these bills have economic impacts for compliance, and we want some more sunshine and transparency in that process and more accountability. So we do have a bill in play, HB 597, to take care of that. We have a pension reform bill coming up to basically financially strengthen the current system as a step in the direction of more transformational change in the pension system. Ultimately, we'd like to see a defined contribution system, not a defined benefit system. Just like you and I have, we have 401ks, we put money into a retirement account, and it's the return on that for our pension is determined by how those investment funds do on the market. Well, why should taxpayers guarantee the benefits to state employees? We don't get those guarantees in the real world. So we need to change that. So we have a bill to help get us in that direction because we can't do it all in one full swoop. So we got some good things coming down. There's some tax reform bills coming up. SB 323, SB 322, which will lower individual income tax rates. There's a governor's bill, and there's a bill being introduced by Senator Mike Yakovich, SB 203, which will take down the individual income tax rate down to 4.9%. The governor's bill does it in two steps, takes it down to 5.4%. Then the following year will go down to 4.9%. We haven't really landed on any one particular bill, but we will get behind tax cuts ultimately. Whatever tax cuts we can get, we will take.
Interesting. Yeah, because there's kind of like three different approaches. You've got the governor's approach that just lowers the tax rate altogether. I favor that one because I don't like playing the class warfare game where like, well, I want to target this to this class of people or that class of people. Look, no, lower the tax rate for all. The wealthier taxpayers are still going to pay far more in taxes than the rest of us because a percentage is a percentage. And so I don't like the idea that, well, we're just going to lower it for this class of people because then you'll never lower it for anybody else. And I just think that's the American way. Is not to play this class warfare. No, we're gonna punish success and we're gonna target success at a greater level than we do anybody else. So, because I know there's the same approach. Yeah,
I hear you on that, Aaron. And ultimately, we want this thing to move towards a flat tax, which is the ultimate fairness in taxes in taxation. Everybody paying the same rate, because the more money you earn, the more taxes you're gonna pay. That's the logic of it, and that's the way it ought to be. You shouldn't be penalized because you are a higher income earner than those who are lower and middle class.
Yeah, because you're already paying more based off of the tax rate. Although I did hear, I think one of the approaches, because I know the Senate has a version that's been moving forward that's got one approach. The House has a version that's moving forward that has a different approach. But I think one of them has like a trigger that would go into effect that, okay, once we collect a certain amount of revenue, that boom, automatically the other rate would lower then as well. Okay, that's not a bad concept. I like the idea of triggers because we know what happens is we cut taxes, it helps our economy, and then they get more revenue, and then more revenue should trigger we the people getting more of our money back, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, I hear you on that. I'm not familiar with that particular bill. This is not really my area of policy expertise. These bills are going to be coming up soon. SB 323, the governor's the bill that the governor is behind is coming up for hearing on Friday. That will lower income taxes and individual income tax from 5.9 to 5.4% and down the following year to 4.9. That's coming up this Friday. Business equipment tax relief for heavy machinery and the like, SB 322 is coming up on Wednesday. That'll increase the exemption up to $3 million, which I think is really good. That's coming up on Wednesday, as I mentioned. So there's going to be some good bills coming up, and we've got the transmittal date of April 4th, which comes up very quickly. And, you know, as we are all preparing to file individual tax returns in, you know, business and corporate tax returns, it's a good time to focus attention on these particular bills as well.
Yeah, the business equipment tax is one that a lot of people don't think of it. And we've helped make it better over the years. But it really, you think about $3 million equipment. Look, if you don't own your own business, that may sound like a lot of money, but especially with inflation that we've had over the last 4 years, what the business equipment tax does is it taxes you simply for having the equipment. Whether you're making money off of that equipment or not, just that equipment just sitting on your lot or sitting in your shop, you get taxed off of it. And it's a huge, it penalizes success once again, and it discourages people from owning equipment and expanding their businesses. So we've got to continue to hatch it away at that one.
Yeah, that's a good bill. And, you know, you can tell it's almost humorous. Like, whatever you got, if you exhale, they'll figure out a way to, if they can figure out a way to tax your oxygen intake, they will.
Yeah, don't give Fauci any more ideas. Yeah. All right, well, we got about a minute and a half to go here before we hit the break, and then we'll open up the phone lines. But Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, anything you want to tell folks here across the state of Montana, especially as the legislature gears back up here in about a couple hours?
Yeah, I just want to say that, hey, you know, we're at halftime, and sometimes it's hard to keep focus all the way through to the finish line, but we at Americans for Prosperity are doing that. We inform, we inspire, and we engage activists from around the state. So if you live in Billings, Bozeman, Great Falls, Helena, Kalispell, Missoula, check us out. Get a hold of one of our staff people. You can email us at infomt@afphq.org and get connected with us. Take some action. Get involved. This is our government. They work for us. And it's a reflection of we the people, what they come up with. And if we don't stay engaged, I'll tell you, we won't get those transformational bills that will protect our freedom and our opportunity for this and future generations. So thank you so much for your time this morning. Aaron, always a pleasure.
All right, Henry. Yeah, thanks for your time as well. And, very interesting to hear the feedback from some lawmakers as they're already, you know, getting pummeled with some mailers following some of their votes. I mean, that's agree or disagree with the vote. That's part of that whole accountability process. And so, you know, just before you press that button, just think before you press that button one way or the other. All right, Henry, appreciate your time. Get back to your phone calls after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when we talk about this big story over the weekend, President Trump taking these criminal, illegal alien invaders, murderers, rapists, MS-13 gangbangers, Trinidad and Aragua gangbangers, all in this country illegally. And by the way, Trinidad Aragua is now has been designated, and the drug cartels have been designated as terrorist organizations by our government. And so when you've got this liberal Obama judge who will throw you behind bars in a heartbeat, but then wants to bring these criminal illegal aliens back into this country, I mean, it's so outrageous. The guy had zero authority to do what he tried to do. Sean Davis, who's basically the CEO and co-founder of The Federalist, he's the guy to go back and read the play-by-play recap over the weekend. He said this yesterday. In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled that the federal courts have zero authority to even review a presidential decision to deport hostile foreign enemies, let alone block or reverse that decision. And then he had a whole write-up here that was great. I'm trying to find – oh, yeah, here it is. Here's the post by Jeremy Carl. a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman, Montana. He said this about Chuck Grassley, the Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Grassley has been in elected office since the 1950s. Has he really been in the office since the 50s, or is that Jeremy Carl being a little facetious there? But anyway, this is the broader point. Chuck Grassley is not a bomb thrower. When even Chuck Grassley is using language like this, people need to pay attention. Here's what Chuck Grassley said. Another day, another judge unilaterally deciding policy for the whole country. This time to benefit foreign gang members. If the Supreme Court or Congress does not fix, we are headed towards a constitutional crisis. The Senate Judiciary Committee is taking action, as they should, just like we need judicial reform here in this legislative session of the Montana legislature, for the very same reasons Chuck Grassley was just calling out these left-wing federal judges. You and I know we're seeing the same type of mob antics out of our left-wing Montana Supreme Court. All right, Tom and Bozeman still with us. Thanks for sticking around. Tom, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. You know, along these lines, I read a biography of James Madison this weekend by a lady named Lynn, not Liz Cheney. This gal's name was Lynn Cheney, a professor, and very well written. He wrote most of the Constitution. He wrote 59 of the 85 Federalist Paper essays. And his biggest concern, particularly after Marbury versus Madison Supreme Court decision, was the power of the courts to basically usurp or to transcend the will of the people. This was a new country, a new constitution, a new idea on how things should operate. So it's kind of trial and error. But he immediately discerned that the courts had much too much power. A court such as the Montana Supreme Court could make a decision that's totally contrary to common sense or to the will of the people, yet claim that that was the law of the land. And Madison alleged that that's what was going on. He proposed that the president and the two legislative houses could decide to set aside a Supreme Court decision, or he wanted to make terms elective rather than lifetime appointments. But one of his biggest concerns, and we see this in Montana, is the courts, and the liberals have known this for years, the court was their last refuge for their unpopular ideas. But Madison's biggest concern was that the courts would usurp the power that had been granted to elective officials like the president and Congress.
That's exactly what's happening in Montana. Yeah,
2 years ago and today.
Yeah, it's exactly what's happening in Montana. So well summarized, Tom. Thanks for the call. I mean, and you talk about overturning the will of the people. This Supreme Court in Montana has literally done that. What's one way that you can amend the Montana Constitution? A vote of the people. The people of Montana actually voted to amend the Constitution. It was on a pro-life measure. And the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court said, nah, that's unconstitutional. That's how you change the Constitution, is through a vote of the people. But yet, usurping the will of the people, the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. But the two words that you just shared there, last refuge, I truly believe that the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, their time is eventually coming up. Their time's running out. They're the 60s washouts of leftist progressives that still are desperately clinging to power in Montana. And they're acting so outrageously that eventually they're going to be thrown out. That's why they're resisting every judicial reform bill right now, is because they do not want any transparency whatsoever. They just want to continue to be bankrolled and funded by Democrat Party mega donors and out-of-state money. They truly are. They are the modern-day copper kings that have been paid off by the Democrat Party mega donors that have basically bought the majority on the Montana Supreme Court. Mike in Big Timber next up. Let's see. Okay, yeah, Mike on line one. Mike, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, Aaron. Good morning.
Morning.
I was confused about a report about what is called the auto pen. Did you hear about this?
President Trump, that's his... That's his, I think that's the plan for the week, is to go after Joe Biden's auto pen, yeah.
Oh, okay. And so it is a true story. And exactly what is an auto pen? Can you tell me?
Well, out of fairness, so if you ever see like a signed letter from a United States senator and it's in that big blue ink, a lot of the more procedural stuff is signed by an auto pen. Now, I don't know what an auto pen looks like today, but I remember, you know, what, 25 plus years ago when I was working on Capitol Hill, the auto pen was as big as like a school desk back in the day. And it was this machine that literally would do, you know, a senator's signature. Mostly for routine stuff. There was still some stuff that they would actually physically sign, but yeah, mostly for the routine things. But basically, you know, what President Trump is pointing out with now, and now I got to go see what his latest tweets are. I'll bet the Trump War Room probably has it. He's basically making the point that, hey, does Joe Biden even know what he signed at all when he was president of the United States? And so... So President Trump's having some fun with that. I'll have to go on Truth Social to see what the latest is. Where did you hear about the whole auto pen thing?
I think it was on the Mark. It may have been on Mark Levin or the rerun of a Glenn Beck segment. But apparently, before he left office, it wasn't him who did it. He was on vacation. He was somewhere else.
Oh, he was so always on vacation. Yeah.
Well, apparently, some staffer did this and. It was all about the campaign. Some $300 billion was spent on the Harris campaign, and apparently the Treasury Department released this money, and it had to do something with trying to sell short-term debt, which nobody is buying because it's better to, you know, buy long-term debt where the interest rate is a little higher. It was very confusing to me.
Yeah, because like, if like the Biden White House was using the auto pen to congratulate, you know, school kids for winning the science fair contest, like that's one thing. But if they were breaking out the auto pen because he was out at the beach and now they're signing off on that, that's where the real criticism is of Biden, right?
Yes, and apparently I don't believe he even – knew a whole lot while he was president of the United States. I believe the people behind him were actually running the show.
Oh, of course. And it's not just you. Jake Tapper is admitting as much now after the fact as well. All right, here we go. Here's President Trump on Truth Social. Let me see if it'll play for us.
It looked like we had an auto pen for a president, and we would have been better off if we had, probably. But it looks to me like, you know, that's a big subject. I'm sure you won't ask about that. But the whole subject of auto pen. Did he know what he was doing? Did he authorize it? Or is this somebody in an office, maybe a radical left lunatic, just signing whatever that person was? That's not what you know it's all about.
All right, there you go. That was President Trump on Air Force One. Was somebody else just taking over the auto pen and signing away billions and billions of dollars to our money, to their friends, to their buddies in the final days of the Biden regime? Sure as heck seems like it, doesn't it? All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Quick break. Tim and Billings, you're up next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have one guy appeared to be protesting against Elon Musk. Oh, this idiot accidentally apparently lit himself on fire while trying to vandalize the electric vehicle charging stations, according to South Carolina police. The incident unfolded last Friday at the Tesla charging stations in North Charleston. A man wrote Free Ukraine as well as another message against President Trump with an expletive included. According to a report from the North Charleston Police Department, police said the man had ignited some material that was stuffed into beer bottles and threw them at the stations. And witnesses told police that he lit himself on fire by accident and then fled the scene. What a genius.
check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. Is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Tax rules for independent contractors, otherwise known as gig workers. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a gig worker, you must report earned income on tax returns. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says you're subject to self-employment tax.
That is an extra 7.65% of your wages. So if I work for an employer, I'm an employee, that Social Security tax is being paid half by the employer and half by myself. If I'm a gig worker, I am the person paying both halves of that Social Security tax.
So gig workers will be paying an additional 7.65% of their wages. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left this hour of this show, and then we'll have the phone lines open coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Let's see, real quick here, I saw a great post on X by the Trump War Room. Turns out open borders, rampant inflation, and forever wars weren't exactly hits with the American people. And so they were sharing the plummeting poll numbers for the Democrat Party. Yeah, apparently the poll numbers for the Democrat Party, according to NBC News right now, are the worst ever. You have to go back as far as 1992 to see numbers as close to as bad as they are for the Democrat Party right now. Tim in Billings next up on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. So I was engaged in a chat on David Noble's Twitch stream the other day, and I kind of had an epiphany for myself. You know when you can tell whether you're a conservative or a leftist is we as conservatives, we can hear the argument from a different perspective on an issue, and we can think to ourselves, you know, I may have been wrong about that. I mean, hell, I'm wrong 10 times before breakfast every day. But I learn from it, and I grow, right? Leftists are absolutely supremely confident in their beliefs, and they are never wrong. They never believe they could be wrong, and they will never admit that they're wrong. I mean, let's go back through, you know, media, social media, anywhere in the annals of history. Have you seen a Democrat just come out flatly and say, you know, I was wrong about that, and I have a different perspective now? It doesn't happen. It never happens.
Well, COVID-19 is a great example of how they refused to admit they were wrong with masks. They refused to admit they were wrong with mandates. Apparently, Gavin Newsom is trying to say that he was – they're making it sound like he's saying he was wrong, but I'll have to go see what he's actually saying to see if he's actually admitting how wrong he was. Because, of course, then the next, you know, answer – then the next question is, well, why do you think you could be president of the United States if you're admitting how you got it wrong at one of the most crucial times in our history when you needed to get it right?
Absolutely. And I just think, you know, humility is such a great human trait. And if you can, and if you can humble yourself and say, I was wrong, you're a better person than half of Congress. Of course, we're all better than people than half of Congress anyway.
But that doesn't, that whole humility thing doesn't play well at a pride parade, though. It's all about pride. And me. The humility doesn't play well at a pride parade. Adam Carolla had a great commentary about how the left just celebrates pride and how proud they are. Anyway, Tim, great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. We're just about out of time. Let's see. Let's sneak on one more caller here. Rich, is it Rich in Kyla? Rich, what's on your mind?
Very quickly, okay, with the election, it was awesome. I'm loving everything that's going on. But I don't want to forget the issues with the voting. We still haven't fixed that. And I have an idea. But I think if, Elon Musk and some of his brainiacs are coming in to fix that voting thing, there's no computers. You know, you have to have an ID, one person, one vote. Is there anything being worked on with that?
Well, I know here in Montana, yeah, great question. Wait, election integrity. You know, President Trump and team are doing so much great work right now, just in the first couple of months that he's been in office. But what's being done or what's going to be done at the federal level regarding election integrity, that's a great question. At the state level, I'll tell you what, State Senator Teresa Manzella and the Election Integrity Committee that she's been working with has been doing some great work. In fact, they found some irregularities in the primary election in Butte Silver Bow, what, about a year ago? And there was nothing intentional, apparently, but they at least identified those irregularities and got the records corrected and nipped it in the bud in the primary instead of having it bleed over into the general election. So great question.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's a concept used to describe different ways of producing energy known as energy density. You might think of it as the amount of land needed to produce a given amount of power from the different fuels, wind, solar, coal, gas, or nuclear. Physical footprint on a wind farm or a solar farm is huge compared to fuels with higher energy density such as gas and especially nuclear. And as blogger Austin Vernon has described, despite the extremely high energy density of nuclear fuel, technology has not emerged as a low-cost way to produce electricity, especially compared to alternatives like gas. And the reasons why might surprise you. Yes, regulation and fear of contamination are factors, but the biggest factor is purely economic. Under current technology, a controlled nuclear reaction energy source is a low heat source, much lower than a combined cycle gas turbine, which has more than twice the thermal efficiency. The only way to get a lot of power out of a nuclear plant is to massively scale up the entire process, and that's expensive. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.